From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from the University of Kansas, a constellation of campuses working to improve lives in Kansas and beyond through health research, public safety training, workforce development, natural resource protection, and more. Details at kansas.ku.edu.
99 degrees in Topeka feels like 109. 100 degrees in Manhattan feels like 114. It's 6:06.
This is All Things Considered
from the University of Kansas. This is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, broadcasting at 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 91.3 FM in Junction City. We are always online at kansaspublicradio.org. Thanks so much for spending part of your Monday with us. I'm sorry it's so hot. It's just how it is. It's that time of year. It's where we are. We always have at least 2 weeks that are just really unbearable. Like, you think back to our pioneers and say, like, what are they thinking? That they were just like, oh, yeah, this is the spot. Terrible winters, terrible summers. This is a place for us. At any rate, it's really hot, and it's going to stay really hot. An extreme heat warning until 9 o'clock tonight for virtually all of us. An extreme heat warning through the nighttime hours until 7 o'clock tomorrow morning for Atchison, Donovan, Johnson, Leavenworth, Lynn, and Miami counties, all of the greater Kansas City metro, and St. Joseph. So be aware of that. Get somewhere cool if you can.
Support for KPR comes from Z's Divine Espresso, offering house roasted coffees, bagels, and more via drive-thru or lobby at two Lawrence locations. Online ordering available at zsdivine.com.
We have news headlines coming your way at 6:30. At 6:36, we're going to talk more about temporary protected status for Haitian migrants to the United States, causing a lot of concerns. We'll talk about the crisis coming up on KPR.
Support for KPR comes from the Stiefel Theater with Gillian Welch and David Rawlings, Friday, August 7, celebrating their album Woodland and performances on Stephen Colbert and NPR's Tiny Desk. StiefelTheater.org.
97 degrees in Atchison, feels like 111. It is 620.
And unembarrassed by the amount of corruption he's displaying.
A story about corruption in politics and what voters think about it tomorrow on Morning Edition from NPR News.
Join us tomorrow, 5 to 9 a.m. on your KPR stations. Morning Edition is the program. Matthew Algio will be your local host.
Support for KPR comes from Stoneback Appliance in Lawrence, featuring new and used appliances from Maytag, Whirlpool, and more for over 50 years. Information about appliance sales and repairs at StonebackAppliance.com.
News headlines are coming up next. Humid conditions tonight, a low only dipping into the upper 70s. Use caution if you have to be out and about. It is 6:30.
Idaho.
And you are listening to NPR News.
For Kansas Public Radio News, I'm Laura Lorson. Extreme heat continued across the area today, with heat index values ranging from 110 to 115 degrees, according to the National Weather Service. The utility company Evergy says dangerously high temperatures place added strain on the power grid and can occasionally cause equipment to fail. Spokesperson Courtney Lewis said overall, the system seems to be holding up well.
The power grid has thousands of mechanical parts, and the extreme weather does bring extra stress, and that can mean some outages for some customers.
When outages occur, Lewis says crews respond to make repairs and restore power to customers as quickly as possible. More than 400,000 people attended Kansas City's 6 World Cup games this summer, but as Sam Zeff reports, a new report showed the crowds did not help business at most area restaurants.
The Missouri Restaurant Association surveyed 39 restaurants across the metro and discovered a little more than half reported that revenue decreased during the tournament. A third of those said revenue was down more than 10%. 20% of area restaurants reported a boost in revenue. This despite the fact that many businesses hired more staff and extended operating hours. The report wasn't completely pessimistic. The Restaurant Association acknowledged the World Cup generated substantial regional excitement and international visibility, although the event did not produce broad economic gains. I'm Sam Zeff.
Kansas City Chiefs head coach Andy Reid spoke this morning on the shooting of the wife of one of the other team coaches in Virginia last night. Brandon Azeem has more.
Coach Reid opened the press conference at the team's training camp addressing the shooting of Mia Bieniemy, wife of Chiefs offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy. He said the family is in the team's thoughts while they continue practice at training camp in St. Joseph.
I will have to be involved in this to help heal a little bit, so it'll all work out in the long run.
According to the Loudoun County Sheriff's Office, the couple's 27-year-old son, Elijah Zion Bieniemy, allegedly fired the shots, and he is now charged with multiple crimes. I'm Brandon Azeem.
Mia Bieniemy remains in stable condition as of Monday afternoon. You are listening to Kansas Public Radio. It's 6:35.
At Morning Edition, we know asking guests direct questions leads to more complete answers. Questions such as,
how significant is that?
Why did it get to be so difficult?
And what do you think is going to happen next?
To really understand what's happening, you have to understand why it's happening in the first place. Get the answers with us every weekday on Morning Edition from NPR News.
Join us tomorrow, 5 to 9 a.m. on your KPR stations for Morning Edition. Your local host will be Matthew Algio.
Support for KPR comes from City Wine Market, specializing in wines for every palate and striving to help find customers' next bottle of wine since 2010. More information at citywinemarket.com.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, also at 96.1 FM in Lawrence. Many other frequencies scattered around the state and always available to you on the World Wide Web at kansaspublicradio.org, where we are streaming 24 hours a day.
Support for KPR comes from Watkins Museum of History, celebrating America's 250th anniversary with various museums and historic sites. Information about Finding Freedom, the Promise of 1776 in Douglas County, Kansas, at watkinsmuseum.org.
We still have about 10 and a half minutes of All Things Considered still to come. If you're joining us on KPR One Station, stay tuned. Following All Things Considered for evening classical music. Then at 8 o'clock tonight, it's a repeat of last week's Classics Live. If you're joining us on KPR Two stations, stick around. Coming up at 7 o'clock, we have a rebroadcast of this week's This American Life. It's 10 minutes before 7.
Thank you for listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from this station and from Progressive. Progressive Commercial Auto Insurance protects the vehicles that work to keep small businesses moving forward, including protection while running errands and other tasks, at progressivecommercial.com. From the Lodestar Foundation, inspired by the principle that helping those in need is a path to a happier, healthier, and more meaningful life. Learn more at lodestarfoundation.org. From Fisher Investments, Fisher is committed to helping clients stay on track to reach their financial goals and enjoy a comfortable retirement. FisherInvestments.com. Investing in securities involves the risk of loss. And from the sustaining members of this NPR station.
Morning Edition from NPR News eases you into your day with what you need to know, thoughtful conversations, and dare I say, some pretty great company. Join us.
Join us tomorrow morning, 5 to 9 a.m. for Morning Edition. Matthew Algio will have your regional news. We're live, we're local, we are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, 91.5. KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, 89.7. KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, 91.3. KANQ Chanute, 90.3. Listen on the web at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from the Lawrence Times, an online news publication with an emphasis on stories that affect residents of Lawrence, Douglas County, and Kansas. Information at lawrencekstimes.com.
Stay tuned. Up next, we have news headlines, followed by Stardate, followed by an hour of classical music. I believe it's going to be Steve Seal. Wouldn't swear to it. Pretty sure, though. At 8 o'clock is Classics Live. Then at 9 o'clock, Jazz in the Night.
Support for KPR comes from the Kansas State Fiddling and Picking Championships, presenting Don Flemons of the Carolina Chocolate Drops in Lawrence's South Park, August 23rd. More information at fidpick.org.
Sticky, unpleasant weather tonight. Humid, a low only getting down to the upper 70s. Mostly cloudy tomorrow. 40% chance of showers and storms. Still humid. Highs around 90, so not quite as intense as today. It's 7:01.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. The Pentagon changed how it counts casualties in the Iran war. It comes as the deaths and injuries from the conflict increased recently, as NPR's Quill Lawrence explains.
So a week ago Friday, it was announced that there were 4 troops killed in action, Iranian rocket and drone attacks on bases in Jordan and in northern Iraq. And as we were reporting those out, we would check the official numbers on the Pentagon's website. But the numbers of those killed in action for the war in Iran were kind of switching back and forth before our eyes. On the Pentagon's website, it would, one day it said 14, and then they added the 4 new KIA, and it went up to 18, but then it was knocked back down to 14 again.
NPR's Quill Lawrence reporting. For hundreds of thousands of Haitian immigrants in the U.S., temporary protected status ends tonight. Reshma Kirpalani reports from Florida, home to one of the nation's largest Haitian communities.
At 6 a.m. on Monday, Farah LaRue returned home from her night shift. After today, she no longer has legal status to live or work in the United States. LaRue has stocked her home with food and covered the glass panel on her front door because she's afraid Immigration and Customs Enforcement might show up. If they do, she's memorized her lawyer's phone number.
If I don't get mistreated by ICE at the detention center, I may be killed in Haiti, and my blood will be on Trump hands.
The Department of Homeland Security says conditions in Haiti have improved enough for Haitian nationals to return. For NPR News, I'm Reshma Kirpalani in Miami.
Hundreds of thousands of authors will receive their share of the $1.5 billion settlement as part of a copyright infringement lawsuit against the AI company Anthropic. NPR's Chloe Veltman reports it's far from an unqualified victory for the industry.
The compensation is about $3,000 for each title Anthropic used to train its AI models without authors' consent. New York Times bestselling author Charles Graber was a named plaintiff in the suit. Anthropic used 2 of his books. He says the payout reaffirms that piracy is a crime, but he has mixed feelings about the last 2.5 years he spent fighting Anthropic.
A lot of travel, a lot of discussion about what to do and how to proceed, and a lot of jobs passed up. I'm much poorer for this settlement, ironically.
Authors will split the money with publishers, and more than $100 million goes to the plaintiff's lawyers. Chloe Veltman, NPR News.
A tornado has struck northeastern Wisconsin, causing widespread damage and power outages. Cities including Appleton and Menasha reported severe impacts with roofs ripped off of homes and vehicles flipped over. There have been no immediate reports of injuries or fatalities. The storm knocked out power to more than 30,000 ratepayers. This is NPR News from Washington.
Stardate July 27th. In April, engineers had to shut down one of the scientific instruments aboard the Voyager 1 spacecraft. The device had been studying charged particles in the interstellar medium, the space between the stars. But Voyager is slowly losing power, so the instrument was shut down to help extend the craft's life. Voyager 1 is the most distant object ever sent into space, 16 billion miles from Earth. At that range, it takes almost 24 hours for its radio transmissions to reach Earth. The craft and its twin, Voyager 2, were launched in the summer of 1977. Their mission was to study the giant planets Jupiter and Saturn. Voyager 2 continued onto Uranus and Neptune. Since then, both craft have just kept on going. In 2012, Voyager 1 became the first craft to leave the solar system. It passed outside the magnetic bubble generated by the Sun. Voyager 2 followed in 2018. Both Voyagers are powered by the radioactive decay of plutonium. Today, that generates less than half as much energy as it did at launch. So as the power levels have dropped, engineers have shut off most of the scientific instruments. Two instruments are still going on Voyager 1, studying the space between the stars. In 300,000 years, the craft is expected to fly about one light year from a small, faint star that's 47 light years away, a dead emissary from the people of Earth. For the University of Texas at Austin MacDonald Observatory, I'm Billy Henry.
Hello there, I'm Steve Seal. Thanks for tuning in on this Monday night, and we're going to enjoy heading around the Mediterranean without even leaving the house, or the driver's seat of the car with Jacques Ibert later on, his ports of call. You can do far worse than to get Beethoven to write a piece of music for your ribbon cutting, and that was the case with this piece. Written for the opening of a theater in Vienna, the Consecration of the House Overture. Consecration of the House Overture by Beethoven, written for the opening of a theater in Vienna, a ribbon cutting, essentially. We need somebody to write an overture for our house opening ceremony. Get that guy, you know, Beethoven, just some jobber Beethoven. Philadelphia Orchestra there, conducted by Riccardo Muti.
Support for classical music on KPR comes from Lawrence Farmers Market, open since 1976, celebrating its 50th birthday on August 8th from 7:30 to 11:30 a.m. at 824 New Hampshire Street. More at lawrencefarmersmarket.org. And Creativity Matters, mental health counseling services, where art and therapy come together, offering therapy for adults, families, children, and more. Information about services and scheduling at creativitymattersllc.com.
Here's a look at the KPR weather forecast. It's 99 and fair. Wind is from the south-southwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low in the upper 70s. Wind will be from the south at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Then, tomorrow, thunderstorms with a high in the low 90s. Wind will be from the northeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, a few showers with a low in the low 70s. It's night air. That's KPR weather.
This is from the American composer David Ludwig. This is a comparatively recent work. This is his violin concerto, which we will hear played here by his spouse, actually, Bella Ristova, violin, with the Buffalo Philharmonic, conducted by Joanne Folletta. Thank you. Violin Concerto by American composer David Ludwig, played there by Bella Ristova, his spouse, as it happens. The Buffalo Philharmonic was conducted there by Joanne Folletta. Here on this Monday evening, good to have you along. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Steve Seal, and our music is supported in part by Viking, dedicated to bringing travelers to the heart of each destination with small ship, river, ocean, and expedition voyages, offering cultural enrichment and immersive experiences. Discover more at Viking.com. Anonymous for performing the traditional Wayfaring Stranger.
From the University of Kansas, it's your place for NPR News, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 Lawrence, 91.3 Junction City, and online for you at kansaspublicradio.org. Support for classical music comes from the LMH Health Cancer Center, offering full-service cancer care from diagnostics to treatment to recovery, all in one place. More information is available at lmh.org/cancercare.
Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 97 and fair. Wind is from the south at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low in the upper 70s. Wind will be from the south at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then tomorrow, thunderstorms with a high in the low 90s. Wind will be from the northeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, a few showers with a low in the low 70s. It's 97 and fair. That's KPR weather.
And we're off in a moment here to travel with Jacques Ibert, the French composer who was very well-traveled himself. And so this music comes from experience, actually. He was a sailor and escale, or ports of call, documents some of his actual experiences traveling to Rome and Palermo and Tunisia, as it happens, and we end up in Valencia, and you'll hear the corresponding castanets. Escale, Ports of Call by Jacques Ibert, played there by the Minnesota Orchestra, conducted by Eiji Owe. From the University of Kansas, this is Kansas Public Radio. KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, FM 91.5.
KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, FM 89.7. KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, FM 91.3. KANQ Chanute, FM 90.3. And online at kansaspublicradio.org.
Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 97 and fair. Wind is from the south at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low in the upper 70s. Wind will be from the south at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then, tomorrow, thunderstorms with a high in the low 90s. Wind will be from the northeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, a few showers with a low in the low 70s. It's 97 and fair. That's KPR weather.
Welcome to Classics Live from Kansas Public Radio. I'm Cordelia Brown, saving you a seat here in the Polsky Theater of the Midwest Trust Center for the Performing Arts for a very interesting and fun saxophone recital with everything from Danny Boy to some tangos featuring longtime professor of saxophone at KU, Vince Ganoyak, with his KU colleague of collaborative piano, Ellen Summer. First, Dr. Ganoyak tells us a little bit about the history of the saxophone.
As a boy in early 19th century Belgium, Adolf Sax was hit on the head by a brick. He also swallowed a needle, fell down a flight of stairs, toppled onto a burning stove, and accidentally drank some sulfuric acid. When he grew up, he invented the saxophone. Only a child that familiar with adversity, contend critics of the saxophone, could have foisted such a contraption on an unsuspecting world. In about 1842 is when Adolf Sax invented the saxophone as a hybrid instrument. It's conical in shape, and it's made of brass, but it has pads that cover these tone holes, and it uses a woodwind mouthpiece and a reed to get the sound. So it actually is a woodwind instrument, not a brass instrument. He invented it as a middle voice in the woodwind family, and he intended that it would be played in symphony orchestras as well as concert bands. It never really quite took off in the symphony orchestras. There are saxophone solos now and then. He had wanted it to be that, so he invented a family in the keys of C and F for the orchestra, and another set of family in B flat and E flat for use in bands. And that's the family that we have with us today, is B-flat and E-flat instruments. The saxophone came over to this country right around the turn of the century. And that was a time when there was a lot going on over here, and particularly the very early start of jazz music. And so saxophone caught on right away because it was much louder than a clarinet or something like that. So a lot of people went, wow, this is cool. And it has been a leading voice in jazz and popular music for many, many years. The saxophone is the newest member of the woodwind family, and it is without question the most versatile of all the wind instruments. The program I have prepared for you today contains several different styles of music for the saxophone, and I hope there is something for everyone in the audience. The first piece on today's program was composed by French composer Paul Maurice, who taught at the Paris Conservatory for several years. She composed this suite for the famous French saxophonist Marcel Mouhe, who was also teaching at the conservatory. It is a suite with beautiful melodies and intricate rhythms that portray five different regions in southern France. The first movement is a girl's dance modeled after the farandole, a popular folk dance in Provence. The second movement is Song for My Love. Not really an affirmative statement of love, but questioning, will she love me? The opening notes are the open strings of the guitar. The Gypsy Girl in the third movement is beautiful, with a fiery, almost snarling side of her personality. The Sighing Souls of Aliscon conveys a tree-lined dirt path bordered with Gallo-Roman tombs. The opening notes of the saxophone are a mournful sigh, like the wind blowing through the trees. Written just after the death of a friend, it is the first movement to be composed for this suite and is seminal for the entire suite. Le Cabrenat is the large bee of the southern region of France. Listen at the end when the bee finally flies quickly away. Tableau de Provence.
Thank you.
So ordinarily, in a recital, we would have a chance to go off stage and catch our breath and mess around with the reed and the mouthpiece and all that stuff. Well, we don't really have time to do that, so I just have to do it right here in front of you. Sorry. So I have been playing the alto saxophone, and I brought along the soprano saxophone as well. And the soprano saxophone, they do make curved ones that are very cute. They're a little tiny, you know. But that kind of changed the sound of the saxophone a little bit to have all those curves in it. So they started making them straight, and it really has a more even sound and projects a little bit better. Some people think it projects too much better. So I hope that's not the case today, but it could be. Soprano is very high in pitch, and it's difficult to play, but it's a lot of fun as well. The most recent piece on today's program, And Everything Is Still, was composed by saxophonist Andy Scott, who gives these words at the beginning of the piece, gentle and spacious with poise. So I hope I can do it with poise. And Everything Is Still. certainly one of the most prolific and popular Argentinian composers was Astor Piazzolla. These are two of his six tango etudes written originally for the flute. They are difficult rhythmically and technically, with beautiful melodic sections and several moments for artistic interpretation and nuance. I will be playing only the first two of the three listed, but in reverse order, number four followed by number three.
Thank you.
It's always such a pleasure working with Ellen. She's just a terrific musician, and she accompanies everybody, and she can play anything, you know? I mean, she's just absolutely remarkable. So it's a pleasure to be on the same stage as Ellen Summer. Okay, it's time to swab out again, sorry. I think all saxophone players just mess with stuff a lot, all the time. Reeds, ligatures, saxophones, you know, whatever, straps, you know. Anyway, composed by Australian composer Percy Aldrich Granger, Irish tune from County Derry is one of the most beautiful melodies, and you will recognize it as the song Danny Boy. Granger was not only a fan of British folk music, but was also a huge fan of the saxophone. In many of his wind band arrangements and compositions, he included as many as 6 different saxophones, from the soprano all the way down to the bass. Percy moved to the United States in 1914 and taught at a few different universities. He was a conductor at the University of Kansas Midwestern Music Camp for a few years in the 1960s. At that time, he brought this piece, arranged for wind band, and it became the closing song for every music camp since then. This is Irish tune from County Derry. Thank you. I have one more piece to play for you. And I thought, probably I have not played enough notes. So I wanted to play something that had quite a few more. Saxophonists just do that, you know? I don't know what it is. We're all addicted to playing a lot of notes all the time. So anyway, to close my recital, I have chosen a version of The Carnival of Venice by Jules Demersman, who is one of the earliest composers of saxophone music in France. This particular one is arranged by American saxophonist Fred Hemke, who was the saxophone teacher at Northwestern University for many, many years, and he just passed away recently. So this is Carnival of Venice. Okay.
Fun saxophone recital here in the Polsky Theater at Johnson County Community College. Ending with the showpiece, Introduction and Variation on the Carnival of Venice. Playing the alto saxophone, and there for a little bit the soprano sax, it was Professor Emeritus of Saxophone at KU, Vince Ganoyak, with pianist Ellen Summer, who is head of the Collaborative Piano Department at the KU School of Music. Thanks for joining us for this Doreen Morande professional recital here in the Midwest Trust Center. JCCC offers a series of these free concerts on most Mondays at noon during the spring and fall semesters. Chuck Smith, one of KPR's recording engineers, recorded the show for Classics Live, which is our weekly show that brings the best in live and local concerts to you. I'm Cordelia Brown, your Classics Live producer. Broadcasts of Classics Live are a production of Kansas Public Radio.
No.
A KPR recording made in the summer of 2025, featuring the strings of the Sunflower Music Festival Chamber Orchestra, with special guest conductor Joanne Falletta. That was Gustav Holst's St. Paul's Suite. This has been Classics Live from KPR, Kansas Public Radio.
Support for Classics Live on KPR comes from the University of Kansas, where experts connect across a constellation of campuses and disciplines seeking breakthroughs to address complex health, safety, and economic challenges affecting people everywhere. Details at kansas.ku.edu.
On Morning Edition from NPR News, we report on history as we know it and as it's happening. Connect the latest headlines back to the past every morning on NPR.
Morning Edition is here for you weekdays on KPR from 5 to 9 a.m. From the University of Kansas, it's your place to find classical music and NPR News, Kansas Public Radio. KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Ellsberg Junction City 91.3, and KANQ Chanute at 90.3. On the web at kansaspublicradio.org.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. President Trump is asking the Supreme Court to allow the administration to carry out key parts of his executive order that calls for restricting voting by mail. As NPR's Hansilo Wong reports, a lower court found it to be unconstitutional.
Trump's order so far has not directly affected mail-in voting. It calls for the U.S. Postal Service to come up with lists of eligible voters and deliver mail-in ballots only to people on those lists. USPS is financial supporter of NPR. Federal judge in Boston found Trump's directives overstep his authority under the Constitution, which gives power to state legislatures and Congress to set federal election rules. The Trump administration is now asking the Supreme Court to pause the judge's ruling. The administration argues it's likely to win this legal fight because 23 mainly Democratic-led states challenged Trump's order before the order was fully carried out, making it too early for courts to weigh in. The Supreme Court is not expected to rule on the administration's emergency requests until next week. Anzila Wong, NPR News.
President Trump is calling on Republican Senate leader John Thune to keep senators in Washington and delay their August recess until they pass a strict proof of citizenship voting bill. The bill, known as the Save America Act, is a priority for Trump, even though it doesn't have enough support to pass. Thune has repeatedly tried to move on from the issue.
We voted on it 2, 3, 4, 5 times already. We had it up on the floor for an extended period of time, so... But I'm still showing me how this ends. What's the picture of victory at the end?
Utah Republican Senator Mike Lee escalated his pressure last week, saying it could affect his support for leadership after November. The man convicted of killing 4 college students in Idaho almost 4 years ago has filed a petition to reopen his case. From Boise State Public Radio, Lauren Patterson reports.
Brian Koberger is serving 4 life sentences in prison following his conviction last July. He's now filed a petition for post-conviction relief, and court records suggest he's representing himself. In an interview from prison, Koberger told the New York Times he's seeking to abandon his guilty plea and have a trial. He said his guilty plea, quote, hinged on false promises and blatant disinformation and must be withdrawn. Koberger is claiming ineffective legal counsel, saying his lawyers failed to disclose or review exculpatory evidence, according to a handwritten filing made public by court officials and cited by the Times. For NPR News, I'm Lauren Patterson in Orofino, Idaho.
ICE plans to keep one of its largest detention facilities open for at least another year. The decision comes despite reports of human rights abuses. ICE plans to extend the no-bid contract of the firm running the Camp East Montana in El Paso, Texas, through September 2027. This could cost taxpayers an additional $776 million. ICE argues that relocating detainees or changing contractors would be unpractical and costly. You're listening to NPR News from Washington. Chinese AI models are gaining popularity in the U.S. for their affordability and efficiency. More American executives and companies are switching to Chinese models by startups such as DeepSeek, Moonshot AI, and ZAI for daily tasks. Tech analysts say the models are cheaper and nearly as advanced as those of their U.S. rivals. A stage version of Prince's film and album Purple Rain is coming to Broadway next year. It debuted in the late musician's hometown of Minneapolis in 2025, as Jeff London reports.
Next spring will be a very busy time for new musicals. Lin-Manuel Miranda's Warriors is scheduled to open, as well as the London hit Paddington. Add to that list Purple Rain, which features some of Prince's greatest songs, including When Doves Cry and the title tune. Purple Rain. Along the way, the show has picked up a new director, Saheem Ali, and book writer, Peter Dushan. The music is being supervised by Prince's bandmates, Bobby Z and Morris Hayes. The show opens on April 12th, 2027. For NPR News, I'm Jeff London in New York.
FIFA President Gianni Infantino is attacking his perceived critics for what he calls spreading hate following the World Cup. It comes after Infantino's ally, President Trump, successfully lobbied to let a star U.S. player avoid a ban for a red card penalty. In a 900-word statement, Infantino said, quote, "Sorry that you were so consumed by hate and criticism that you missed it all." This is NPR.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include DuckDuckGo, who believes AI should be optional and who've been building privacy tools for 15 years. They now offer Duck.ai, where users can chat privately with AI. Duck.ai. This is NPR.
Kansas Public Radio is where you find straight-up jazz throughout the night, with news from NPR at the top of every hour to keep you abreast of what's happening in the world. I'm your host, Tom Parkinson. Thank you for tuning in. Ahead this hour, vocalist Ernestine Anderson with tenor man, the legendary Houston Person from 2008. We'll also hear from the Cuban trumpeter Arturo Sandoval and a recent release from tenor saxophonist Alexa Tarantino. All that coming up this hour. We'll start with a track from The Cookers, an all-star supergroup led by the American patriot and tenor saxophonist Billy Harper. This 2014 assemblage of The Cookers includes Eddie Henderson on trumpet and Donald Harrison on alto saxophone, and in the rhythm section, pianist George Cables with Cecil McBee and Billy Hart on bass and drums, respectively. Doesn't get much better than that for a rhythm section. Here's one composed by the leader, Billy Harper. He calls it Dance, Eternal Spirits, Dance. And you're hearing it on KPR's Jazz in the Night.